72. An act to include legal costs as allowable expenditures from the Special Education Fund. Proponents, Senator Olson.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, may I speak from where I'm right?
I think that's just fine.
Sitting?
Yes.
Thank you. The premise behind Senate Bill 72, is to make sure that the Extraordinary Cost Fund is used for special education expenses and the delivery of service. It seems that we have a conflict within our law as it currently exists, and there's a number of different ways that this could have been done. It's my belief it could probably be done by rule, but it was not. Suffice it to say that currently districts can take legal costs and apply them to the Extraordinary Cost Fund as established in 133748. And this bill is to examine the rationale of that. I do have some folks here that I will turn the podium over to further clarify, if I might.
Thank you, Senator Olson. And we'll hold questions at this time. Further proponents on Senate Bill 72.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Christy Jansen representing the school administrators. I would like to tell you that special ed directors are part of our association, and they brought this bill to our delegate assembly that we held in November, and it was supported unanimously by those in attendance. And I would like now to have Dr. Mike Keeley, who is the current president of the special ed directors, to come up and talk about the merits of the bill. And we would urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Christy. Further proponents, Senate Bill 72.
My name is Mike Keeley. I'm a special education director for what is called the Corn Belt Educational Cooperative in southeastern South Dakota, representing 12 school districts. This year, I am also president of what is called South Dakota CASE, which represents all of the special education directors throughout the state of South Dakota. And as special education directors in the state of South Dakota, we are very much concerned about the financial status of the Extraordinary Cost Fund, because we have schools that have to go to that fund year after year because of services to children who really need safe harbors, as someone had mentioned earlier. Excuse me. What I have given you is a rationale statement explaining why we need this legislation. Primarily, we are faced with a dilemma now that if we have any special education legal costs, DOE is saying that we have to pay that out of the general fund. And as special ed directors, we don't feel that that's fair, and we also don't feel it's fair for the general education fund to support a special education bill. In the packet, I have the rationale statement. I have the bill, and I want to draw your attention to the statutes that exist today regarding the Extraordinary Cost Fund on the last two pages of the handout that I've given you. First of all, 133740 does establish the Extraordinary Cost Fund, and that cost fund was established by the legislature to protect those children so those school districts would have a source to go to provide a safe harbor for those children. Also, when you established the Extraordinary Cost Fund, you established 133740.1, which said that a school district cannot go to the Extraordinary Cost Fund unless they have a fund balance of 5% or less. That was the gateway into the Extraordinary Cost Fund, so to speak. Then you pass the legislation, which you just debated over in the general fund side in the special ed, under 133744, which you said if we have more than 20% or $50,000 representing the small schools, your state aid would be reduced. So there is a cap also in the special education legislation that some of us feel should be revisited, but we will not do that in this session. The problem is in the last, on the last page, 133748. That specifically says, and I'm reading it on its face, that specifically says if I have a special education legal cost bill, the extraordinary cost fund has to pay for it, irregardless of the school district's fund balance. And we don't think that's right. We think that the school should have to spend down to the 5% level in order to access payment of that bill from the extraordinary cost fund.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Well, we'll hold questions until we conclude with the proponents.
And I would encourage that you would support Senate Bill 72.
Thank you, Dr. Keeling. Further proponents on Senate Bill 72?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Robert Keene, and I work with South Dakota Advocacy Services, and I'd like to pass around a couple items. I come this morning in support of what I understand the purpose of the bill is when I first started taking a look at it and asking around, it was an effort to shift legal costs, and legal costs were defined to me at that time as the costs related to due process hearings. And so I come to you in support of the bill, but I do have just a minor concern with some of the phraseology and also with the handouts. I have a proposed friendly amendment. I'd like to refer very quickly to the handouts. For some of you, it brings back, I'm sure, good memories, 1995, famous bill, House Bill 1354. And I want to draw your attention to the second page towards the bottom, Section 1A. This was the genesis of the Extraordinary Expenses Fund. It was a determination that for some states' larger cities, they experienced a significantly higher cost of providing special education. To rectify that, on page 218, section 4, 5, and 6, they created the Extraordinary Expenses Fund, and then they laid out there the amounts of money and the percentages that would be applied from the appropriations process into that particular fund. And that's the way the fund stayed for the first year. In 1996, and I refer you to the next handout, it's about four pages later, that was House Bill 1158. And that is where the amounts dealing with the due process hearings were allowed to be taken from or applied to the Extraordinary Special Education Cost Fund for reimbursement. And so this effort came after the initial design and the initial implementation of the Extraordinary Expenses Fund. And on the last part of the handout, I have the current statute. I do apologize for the cloudy copy. I didn't realize that. I just opened it up my packet this morning. So that's the history and the sub and substance of the Extraordinary Expenses Fund as it applies to due process. And it's my understanding then that House Senate Bill 72 is to draw that away from the Extraordinary Expenses Fund and then put it into the Special Education Fund. And I don't have any issues with it other than just some of the language and the structure of it. The amendment calls for the term legal costs incurred. I feel that legal costs is quite a broad term. It's very general. It could include things other than the due costs related to due process hearings. Again, it's not defined. For example, if any part of a event that's done by an attorney for the school could somehow be linked to special education, for example, negotiations for contracts, that of course is also going to include special education teachers. Now, I don't think that they do that in negotiation, but I'm sure that it would become perhaps encourage additional costs if the bill was passed as it currently is amended in its current shape. Another concern I have under the guise of unintended consequences is not only the additional costs that may be incurred into the special ed fund, but it tends to further divide out the concept of regular education and special education. And I do have a concern that you do have this constant division, and we've all heard the story, we've all heard the commentary that but for special education, things would be a little bit better. And I think to include each and every and all possible costs that require attorney's assistance to a school district that could somehow be linked to special education goes a little bit too far and beyond the intent of the initial presenter today. So what I proposed in the amendment that I would suggest for your consideration is merely to be clear that the cost that this covers is costs related to due process hearings. Secondly, the proposed amendment contains a start date for that, and that's the date that the due process complaint begins, and technically it's once it's received by the State Department of Education. That's the date when a due process hearing begins. And so I'm here in support with the concept. I do think it's time to get this cost out of the Extraordinary Expenses Fund, but I do encourage you to consider the amendment that will focus it down to what I believe the purpose of the bill is. And I'm available for any questions you may have.
Thank you. Again, we'll hold questions until we conclude with proponents. Further proponents in Senate Bill 72.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is still Dick Thiessen, and I am an attorney here in Pierre. Brother Bob Keene may wish that I hadn't gone after him instead of before him, because I have some issues with his
amendment. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Would you ask Mr. Thiessen who he's representing?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
I represent the Associated School Boards, and we support the bill before you. My purpose in getting up is to, I think, make sure that it does what the proponent wants it to do. Under the 2004 IDEA Reauthorization Act, Section 615 of that act, there have been some changes which now allow a court to make awards of reasonable attorney's fees as part of the costs of that action. That's something new to the IDEA. In my other life, in my real life, when I'm not here during session, I defend school districts. That's what I do.
All the time, Mr. Thiessen.
And in doing that, we find that oftentimes the insurance policies, if they're insured under a different policy, for special ed, provides for the defense of special ed claims, but does not provide for payment of the attorney's fees that might be awarded on the other side of that case. So that has become more of an issue for schools as special ed hearings are conducted and as due process hearings are conducted, and as the courts will likely become more willing to award attorney's fees and costs if the other side prevails. This is likely to become more of an increasing problem than it already is, and I think from the original support of the bill and proponent of the bill, you understand why it has become an issue for them. So we support the concept. I mean, our initial review of the bill was, oh my, are we taking money away from special ed to pay lawyers? But the reality of the situation is the districts are finding themselves in special ed hearings where the attorney's fees and costs, which can be substantial, are awarded to the other side, that district is somehow having to handle those attorney's fees and costs. I would offer one point of thought with respect to the amendment. Most insurance policies would provide for the payment of attorney's fees and costs on the other side, if at all, only where the language speaks of there being a determination that the district would be financially responsible for paying. Under the existing proposed language on line 8, it speaks of those costs, legal costs, that the district is financially responsible, including costs incurred of due process hearings. That may need tweaking to say for whom the district is determined to be legally financially responsible for paying, in order to ensure that what is being paid out of that fund would be those legal expenses and costs that were actually awarded by the court in those kinds of proceedings. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Cheesen. Again, we'll hold questions until we conclude with proponents. Further proponents on Senate Bill 72.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Diana Miller, registered lobbyist for the ESD Plus 6 school districts, and I will be very brief. I do not support the amendment, and I have a great deal of respect for Mr. Keene, but I think he's trying to narrow it to lose the whole perspective of the bill, and that is that the legal costs associated with special education justifiably should be in the special education fund. And I understand his concern that you further alienate special ed from general ed. We already do that in a number of areas due to the fact we have a funding formula that differentiates and a mill levy that differentiates, so we're all able to tax differently. The contract issue, I think it's very clear in Senate Bill 72 that it says legal costs incurred as a result of providing special education or special education related services to any child. I think that's a stretch to say that negotiations of contracts would be considered as a part cost of special ed. I think that's really a stretch to go there. Simply stated, we need to utilize the appropriate funds for the appropriate services. And I'm not an attorney, obviously, so I'm not going to comment on Mr. Teason's comments about tweaking attorney language. I don't want to get into any of that area. I basically feel that this is an issue that the Extraordinary Cost Fund allows it, and I don't want the Extraordinary Cost Fund to be a situation where schools are racing to it to cover their legal fees. That's just was not the intent of the Extraordinary Cost Fund when it was instituted. It was designed for services that were above and beyond what a school district had dollars for. The legal costs are clearly a cost of doing business, fortunately or unfortunately, in the business of special education and under the IDEA, because hearings are allowed by both sides. And I think that this Senate Bill 72 covers the issues in a succinct manner and states precisely the policy that this legislature and this body we would like to see adopt. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Again, further proponents of Senate Bill 72.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jim Hutmaker, South Dakota Coalition of Schools. I'm going to be very brief because I think pretty much everything said. We support the bill in its original form without the amendment. And I would try to answer any questions, but I think there's probably more experts in the room than me.
Thank you, Jim. Again, we'll hold questions until the proponents are concluded. Further proponents.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jim Hood, registered lobbyist for the middle-sized school organizations. We believe that these costs should come from the appropriate fund and support this legislation. I agree with Mr. Teason and his analysis, and don't think the bill needs to be amended. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents on Senate Bill 72. Further proponents on Senate Bill 72. Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 72? Any opponents? With that, we will open it for the committee. Are there questions from any of the proponents, as there were no opponents?
I do, Mr.
Yes,
Chairman.
Senator Olson.
I have a question for Mr. Teason, if I might. You mentioned the new reauthorization of IDEA, which I unfortunately think is quite onerous. Section 615, is that the part of that bill that allows actions to be brought not only in state court but also federal court?
Yes. The district courts of the United States shall have jurisdiction of actions, and we're seeing attempts to file in federal court now already. And that is the section that deals, which I have a copy I'd be happy to leave with anyone that wants to look at it, that deals with all of the awards of attorney's fees that can be made to the prevailing party. It includes frivolous filings. It includes the prevailing party awards, those kinds of things. And by the way, I apologize. I didn't understand the question until I looked at my badge, and I have the wrong badge on this morning. So,
you're lucky to be so gainfully employed.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, sir.
Further questions from either Mr. Teason or any other proponent? Mr. Teason, before you leave, then I would have one, and I think it's just in deference to both the original sponsor and to the merits of the bill. But as I understood your testimony, it appears that there is some amendment that should be done to the bill to get the language in conformance with both what the intent of the bill is and with the federal act?
Well, it's my view that it maybe needs to be a little more carefully stated, because I don't think it defines what legal costs or expenses you would have the ability to use these funds for, because I could argue that it's any legal costs or expenses, not just those that have been awarded to the other side. And if the intention is, as I had interpreted it to be, and I guess the question is maybe best posed to the proponent of the bill, if the intention is to allow for the use of the special ed funds to pay for those situations where the court has awarded the other side's attorney's fees and costs, then I think it needs to be tweaked to say for which the district is determined to be legally responsible for paying.
Thank you. Any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, yes, Senator.
I just to let the committee know, one of the things that I find somewhat striking is that the current structure we have doesn't seem to follow any general accounting procedure, which concerns me. I had the Auditor General do a little work. At least in South Dakota, there's not a lot of administrative hearings. There's not very many of them. I don't really have a number even as to how many that might be. But I think it might be prudent, given Attorney Teason's discussion or testimony, as well as Mr. Keene, that we would delay action on this bill until we get it into a form that everybody can waltz down the yellow brick road holding hands, singing Kumbaya.
I think you're mixing movie metaphors, but... With that, though, the chair agrees. I think that there is room for further discussion. Dr. Keeley, do you have some additional brief comments? Certainly.
I do agree with what Senator Olson just said, but there are times when school districts will ask legal counsel to attend a meeting to make sure they're following correct procedures, and that does not show up in the form of a due process hearing. It's just a service that's provided to the school district by the school district attorney. So that would have to be tracked down if you were going to do the analysis of the amount of money and time that was spent in that. But yes, we are very fortunate in our state that we have very few due process hearings, but we have indirect attorney costs to steer the school district down the correct path.
Thank you. Well, I think in light of Senator Olson's request and the testimony received this morning, it would be advised that the committee hold this, and certainly our workload is not so overburdensome that we can't afford to spend some additional time. With that, Chair's discretion that we will hold this until the next regular meeting of the committee. It will appear below the line. Appreciate all of you appearing this morning.